friends, and welcome to episode 10 of the Bouncing Back podcast with me, James Middleton. Episode 10. Gosh, where has the time gone? That means it's been 10 weeks since I started this podcast. 10 weeks. I can't believe it. But here we are, episode 10. It's a bit of a milestone for me, actually. 10 episodes. And I've loved doing every single one of them. And I'm going to continue doing these for as long as I can. Hopefully in the next season as well, I'm going to get some guests on my podcast too, because I think that will be really interesting and exciting for you, so you can hear a different voice or different voices, not just mine. Maybe you're getting bored of my voice, maybe you're not. But anyway, I've woken up specifically very early this morning to record this podcast, because the last podcast, episode number 9, when I brought it out, on a Tuesday, and I normally bring out my episodes on a Monday. But because when I brought it out, it was bank holiday, I decided to wait until Tuesday. And I had so many messages from you guys saying on Monday, saying, James, where is the next episode? I'm waiting for it. And I even get messages after I've, you know, released another episode saying, when is the next one? Which is obviously amazing. So I felt a little bit more pressure on myself to release this one for Monday. And here we are. So I've had a lot of coffee this morning. So if I start speaking too fast or you don't understand, I was just about to say, let me know, but this isn't a public talk. You can't do anything. So that was silly of me. But I will try and keep things, as I always do, as simple and as easy to understand. Because like I always say, you want to be able to explain things as if a five-year-old was listening. And I often read books and listen to things and just sometimes think, mate, I don't understand what you're saying. You're using such complicated words, and I know you're probably very intelligent, but I'm switching off. And that's why I think it's really important to keep things nice and digestible when you're talking about things. Anyway, I digress. Today's episode is all about that voice inside your head. Everyone experiences that voice inside the head, and it can be so powerful, it can be crippling, it can be used to our advantage. And I think there are so many fascinating areas to talk about and discover and discuss. And I'm going to briefly talk about some of the things that I think will really help you and are just interesting for me, to be honest. And again, really help with my own perspective, my own mindset, my own mental health. And hopefully it's going to be another really good episode. So I'm going to talk about four things today. The first, what you repeat to yourself matters. The second, awakening the hero within you. The third, what you want versus who you become and that familiar voice inside your head. And then I'm going to finish talking about removing thorns from yourself. These thorns, not physical ones, but metaphorical ones. And it'll all become very clear. We all experience that voice, the voice inside our heads. It's a constant dialogue. Sometimes the dialogue is good and we get on well with the voice. Other times it isn't, and we wish we could throw the voice away, or the person inside us who keeps talking to us and speaking words we don't want to hear, or that are causing us anxiety or stress. How familiar is that? Like I said, all of us experience it. And in fact, this voice can be so powerful that it can cause us to be totally ecstatic 1 minute and then completely crippled with negativity the next. It's a constant spectrum, I find, that this voice runs along, but it's entirely up to us to control where it is on that spectrum. This is why what you repeat in your head matters. It really matters. How would you feel if someone outside really started talking to you the way your inner voice does? How would you relate to a person who opened their mouth to say everything your mental voice says? After a very short period of time, I am certain you would tell them to leave and never come back. But when your inner friend continuously speaks up, you don't ever tell it to leave. No matter how much trouble it causes, you listen. Now, why is that? We are our harshest critics, and we stand for so much when it's in our own heads. Yet, if someone else was to tell us the things our inner voice does, they'd get a slap around the face. That lie, that story, what you're telling yourself about yourself is everything. So you've got to take control of that. And there's a guy called Dr. Daniel Amen. He talks about squishing the ants. Now, ants whenever you hear me say that in this episode or in general, it stands for the automatic negative thoughts. Everyone has them. Every single one of us experiences automatic negative thoughts. I don't think the goal personally is to get rid of them, because that in itself can cause us more stress and anxiety trying to banish them completely, particularly when they just won't go. How many times when you feel anxious, you get yourself even more worked up, getting stressed about the fact that you are anxious. So it's important to understand that that feeling is there and not try and fight it too much, because it's like fire with fire, you're just going to create more fire. I think the goal instead is to recognize rapidly that you're having these negative thoughts. So if you think, oh, I can't do this, I'm not enough, do the nice simple thing. Humans, we are the ultimate adaptation machine. So even if I'm not enough today, I think I'm not enough today, I can become enough. Even by the end of the day, I can become worthy. Now, this is the hard part. That was the easy part. This is the hard part. To have self-worth, you have to do something that's worthy of believing yourself. It doesn't just come along and you pick it up out of the shopping trolley and there it is in your hands. And I wish that was a thing. I wish I could give you self-worth by saying, hey, you're worthy. But a part of you still will believe that you're not. So you have to start with doing something small. And I talk about this all the time, the small things. For me, it's waking up early every morning. I'm not a morning person. I'm not one of those people who springs out of bed at 6 a.m. full of life and doesn't need, you know, 2-3 coffees to get the engine going. No, I love my sleep. My bed is unbelievably comfortable. I've spent a lot of money on mattress toppers and making sure it's a place where I feel very relaxed. If you don't believe me, ask any of my ex-girlfriends. They could never get out of bed. And that wasn't because we were up to anything naughty. Okay? Anyway, I digress. Waking up early each day for me means, because every time I get up early, I pass the point of not wanting to and I get out of bed. And every morning I have this little battle in my head. Oh, just stay in bed for half an hour. You don't really need to get up this early. You could easily just have another half an hour sleep and you'd still get all your stuff done. But it's the way I earn credibility with myself, by doing it anyway. I'm improving the story that I tell myself, and it's dead simple. Now, for you, it could be anything, anything small, as simple as making your bed as soon as you wake up. You might think, yeah, come on, James, but anyone can do that. That's not something that makes you worthy. But you'll be surprised at how many people don't make their bed and look past it. Something so easy and simple to do because they don't actually think it's got any value in their life. I actually think if you can't make your bed in the morning, then you've got no chance in achieving any of your dreams, anything worthwhile in life. Like I said, it's about doing the small things, simple things daily that matters. By doing something you don't want to do as well, let's be honest, making your bed isn't the most exhilarating of tasks. It's leading to an outcome that you want and you can celebrate, and you'll be able to give yourself the credibility for. And doing this kind of thing with lots of smaller tasks during the day will amount to feeling good about yourself, and it will start that process in your mind, that voice inside your head of being satisfied and being like, yeah, James, you're on a roll. Look at all these little things that you're doing. Even if you're not consciously thinking, oh, I've done the laundry today, I've cleaned all the dishes, I've made my bed, I've hoovered. Even if consciously you don't think that those are great tasks that you're doing, subconsciously your mind is going to be thinking, yes, another thing done, tick, another thing done, tick. You don't have to climb Everest every day. That's not how you earn credibility. You earn it by consistently achieving small things each day. Like I said, those things are entirely up to you. But if each day you can set yourself small goals, achieve the small wins, you'll pick up a lot of momentum. And in that momentum will no doubt contain positive energy. That positive energy is what you're going to need to squish any of those ants, those automatic negative thoughts, and enable what you're repeating to yourself in your head to be of benefit, not of detriment to you. However, it's important to not let our inner voice dictate our thoughts and our actions, particularly when it's unwarranted negative thoughts. It's also important to get some perspective, I think, on this too. The irony is if we spend too long thinking deeply about trying to control this voice all the time, we'll end up winding ourselves up more and more and running around in circles with the inner voice as well, and just being in one constant battle with it. Like I said, it's important to be conscious of it, but it's important to also allow sometimes those negative thoughts to just come and then go in their own time. If you fight it too much, you're going to wind yourself up and get yourself into more trouble than initially you might have been in. I think the aim is to be at peace with it as much as possible. Be at peace with it. And I think life is way too precious to be wasting time continuously fighting with our own self, with our own thoughts, analyzing too much about what's going inside our heads. That can drive a person crazy. Billions of things are going on in this world. You can think about it all you want, but life is still going to keep happening. It's still going to keep on happening. But in order to get some distance from this, you first need to get some perspective. Next time you walk outside on a clear night, for example, look up into the sky and just think about this, right? You are sitting on a planet spinning around in the middle of absolutely nowhere. Though you can see, let's say, a few hundred, maybe a few thousand stars on a very clear night, there are hundreds of billions of stars in our Milky Galaxy alone, our Milky Way galaxy alone. In fact, I think it's estimated that there are over, I read this the other day, there are over a trillion stars in the spiral galaxy. A trillion. We cannot comprehend how big that is. That galaxy would look like one star to us if we could even see it. To me, that's mind-blowing. And there you are. Here we are, just standing on one little ball of dirt and spinning around one of the stars. From that perspective, do you really care about the trivial things going on in your life? Do you really care about what people think, what clothes you're wearing or the car you have? Do you really need to feel embarrassed if you forget someone's name and need to ask them again? How can you let these meaningless things cause pain? If you want out, if you want a decent life, you had better not devote your life to avoiding psychological pain. You cannot spend your life worrying about whether people like you, or whether your car impresses people, or whether your watch is as nice as your friends. What kind of life is that? It's a life of pain. I'm telling you, you may not think that you feel pain that often, but you really do. And it's chipping away inside of you every single day. So don't let it. Don't let these things be a detriment to the enjoyment you can experience instead. To spend your life avoiding pain means it's always lurking right there behind you in your shadows. If you want to be happy, you have to let go of that inner voice in your head that wants to create melodrama. It's the characteristic of the voice that thinks there's a reason not to be happy. How many times have you been out with friends, having a good time, and there's that little voice maybe doubting why you're having fun, why you're having a good time, making you feel a little bit guilty about it? I know it happens to me a lot. But in the end, enjoying life's experiences is the only rational thing to do. Like I said, you're sitting on a planet spinning around in the middle of absolutely nowhere. You're floating in empty space in a universe that literally goes on forever. And for me, whenever I become overwhelmed with things, whenever my thoughts are overtaking my life, dictating my life in a negative way, I think about this, and it's a very humbling thought, and one that I apply to my life when things become too much and I'm feeling stressed or I'm feeling anxious. I take a step back and I collect myself and tell myself, if I have to be here on this earth, at least be happy and enjoy the experience, James. You're gonna die anyway. Things are gonna happen anyway. Why shouldn't I be happy? You gain nothing by being bothered by life's events. Absolutely nothing. It doesn't change the world. All that happens is you just suffer. There's always going to be something that can bother you if you let it. Some food for thought. I want to move on now and talk about the hero that I believe we all have inside of us. Beneath any insecurity, beneath any jealousy, beneath any anger, beneath any sadness, beneath any limitation, that you've picked up along the way in your life. That's the genius betrayal continuum, a bit like the inner voice, gently, sometimes aggressively, reminding you of all these influential but not necessarily productive emotions. While at your very core, part of your core is an undefeatable hero. And I truly believe that. You are braver than you know. You are stronger than you think. How many times have you faced a situation where at the time you're petrified? You can't see yourself ever getting through it, yet here you are. You have made it through absolutely everything in your life so far. Loss, heartbreak, rejection upon rejection upon rejection, failure, embarrassment, you name it. And yet here you are. To me, that's a sign of strength. That is a show of bravery, of grit, and determination. How many times have you come out the other side of something you deem to be so overwhelmingly terrifying or challenging and look back and said, you know what? I underestimated myself. Look what I've just accomplished, and I'm still here to tell the tale. The only reason something that can happen that can get you off your heroism and your optimism and your sense of courage is the wounding that happens along the way. Whether that be being cheated on, whether that be being betrayed, whether that be being rejected from your dream job, your dream university, failing exams. Now, physical wounds heal, right? You get a cut, they heal by themselves eventually. It's the magical wonders of our body that allows this to happen. But emotional wounds that have arisen from some of those examples I've given, from life, what life throws at us, the psychological wounds, these can be incredibly painful and long-lasting and take a great deal of inward effort in order to heal. These kinds of wounds only heal if you take responsibility in contributing to their healing. It's not like the body where it will just heal by itself, physical wounds. No, a part of that healing is to not let the inner voice take over and dictate what you're feeling, because it will try and protect you in any way it can. That's one of its key roles, but protection in this instance is putting walls up around you to give you that comfort bracket to heal. But we want to stay as far away from possible from having any kind of walls up wherever we can. And I'll touch upon that when I come to the final topic of this episode. A lot of how we are today is based on also what happened to us as kids, for example. A lot of trauma that you may have experience or people experience as kids stays with them for their whole life and forms fundamental characteristics that are actually very hard to shake off. Probably something, another topic that I'll talk about in another episode. But when you're a little kid, you believed in possibility. You were brave. You spoke your truth. You were persistent. You were strong. You never gave up and you had faith in your dreams. A classic example is a kid who learns to walk. How many times do you see them fall over? But they get up again and again and again and again. But then what happens is, as we grow older and we go through life, we pick up the messaging from our parents and peers and friends and the world around us, the media, social media, all of these things that can limit and contracts and distorts our mindset. And we pick up all these emotions and messages through the power of emotional contagion, which is a scientific phenomenon that speaks to the fact that we pick up the emotions of the people we are around. And so we start this process of getting away from our natural heroism and we pick up all this insecurity. It's why I'm such a big advocate of removing toxic people in your life, whether that's a friend, a partner, or even your own mother or father. And you might think, no way, that's my mother, that's my father, no way. But you embody and become those you surround yourself with. You're forced to react to the way people are and the way people treat you. If that's constantly toxic and damaging to you, then you will become toxic and damaged. And it doesn't matter who that person is. For example, say a customer is upset with you, or you have a conflict with a work colleague, or your significant other said something to you, or something doesn't go right and you become unhappy, you become toxic, you become insecure, you get scared. Why does that happen? It doesn't happen because you're a scared person. It happens because of the wounding you've picked up along the way that has caused you to forget who you truly are. And part of who you truly are, before the world caused you to forget who you truly are, is this incredible hero within. So each day you need to remind yourself of that hero. Wake that hero up. Stand in front of the mirror and be brutally honest with yourself and talk to that hero and remind it that you need it to perform and stay with you every single day. And when I say stand in front of the mirror, I'm not talking in the sense of that being a metaphorical stand in front of the mirror. I mean stand physically in front of the mirror and be brutally honest with yourself. It's very hard to lie to yourself when you're standing in front of the mirror. Try it. It's very hard to lie to yourself. If you can, then maybe you have some demons inside you, but it's difficult and it sounds crazy, but a lot of people do it, and I do it as well. I stand in front of the mirror when I need to give myself a pep talk, and I'm brutally honest with myself. If I'm feeling a bit shit one day, or I'm feeling a bit demotivated or something I'm not too happy about, I give myself a pep talk. I pull myself together and I'm almost talking to this hero that I know is inside me to wake it up and be like, come on, let's go, let's do this. Doesn't matter what's happened, you're James, you're this, you're that. And you start giving yourself those positive affirmations, and it helps, but you have to believe it. You have to believe it. There's no point going to that mirror half-heartedly. You have to have a serious word with yourself. But I do think that each and every one of us has this hero inside. And it's about surrounding ourselves with people and things that can bring that hero out of us. I can't tell you how important that is. Get rid of anything in your life that doesn't bring the best out in you. The sunk cost fallacy cannot be an excuse to keep things in your life that don't. It doesn't matter how long you've known someone, how much time you've given to something. If it's not serving you, you need to be selfish and put yourself first and remove it. It's your decisions, not your conditions, that determine your future, determine your destiny. You need to make sure that all the decisions you're making are contributing positively to your life as much as you can. Sure, granted, some decisions we make won't be doing that. It's impossible to make every decision perfectly aligned with what we want to achieve and what we want our future to look like. But if we can steer away from blaming our conditions, sometimes out of our control, and focus on what we can control and making decisions daily that will give us the best possible future, then that's what we should be trying to do. Surround yourself with the things that are going to get that fire burning inside of you. That fire should never go out, ever. It needs to be at least on simmer the whole time. And then you need to find things, find people that are going to set it to burn on its highest flame as much as you can. Moving on, I want to remind you of the outcome-based versus identity-based process, because this relates to what I've just said and relates to a lot about being someone you want to be, not focusing on what you want to become so much. So encapsulating that idea of doing things that are going to help you feel and be who you want to become, rather than focusing on just outcome-based ideas. It's very, very common for people when beginning the process of changing their habits to focus on what they want to achieve. What being the key word here. Pretty much 90% of the time when a client comes to me for coaching, their initial goal is outcome-based. I want to achieve this body. I want to achieve this weight. I want to get fit. I want to fit into this suit or this dress size. I want to be confident enough to stand up in public and talk. I want to sleep better. The list goes on. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Having outcome-based goals is certainly helpful, but there is an alternative, or at least something that should very much sit alongside of that and actually be at the forefront of that. And that's an identity-based outcome, an identity-based habit. The focus here being on who we wish to become. The example I give, imagine two people resisting a cigarette. The first person, when offered a cigarette, says, Not for me, thanks. I'm trying to quit. Now, this sounds like a pretty reasonable response, right? But this person still believes they are a smoker who is trying to be something else. They are hoping their behavior will change whilst carrying on with the same beliefs. The second person who is asked declines and says, no thanks, I'm not a smoker. Now, it's a tiny difference, but this response signals a change in identity. That second person is no longer labeling themselves as a smoker. Smoking was part of their former life, not their current one. It's a much more powerful way to curb an old bad habit and formulate a new one. And that slight shift in mindset, that ever so small change in the way we think, shifting from outcome to identity, is so incredibly powerful because your mind believes more about something you were trying to achieve. It's hard to convince yourself of just a goal and what you want to become if you're not fully embodying the person it's going to take to get there, to be that person who encapsulates what you were trying to achieve. It's all because our minds are believing something far more powerful now when it's identity based, in which to grab a hold of. And our minds are very powerful, and we can work with our minds and use it to our advantage to help us achieve things. You have to believe something wholeheartedly in order to fully commit to it and achieve it. Most people never consider an identity change when they want to improve something. So I want you to remember that, and I want you to think about that whenever you're setting yourself a task or a goal or setting out to achieve something. Think about that identity. I want to lose weight, for example, is an outcome. And if I stick to James's training program, then I'll lose weight. That's the process. So you have the outcome and the process there. Very often, people set goals and determine the actions they should take to achieve them, but they never consider the beliefs that determine their actions. The strongest and most powerful component of all, your own beliefs of yourself. If you don't ever shift the way you look at yourself, your old identity is very much there to sabotage any new plans you might have for change without you even realizing. So my point is this: the ultimate form of intrinsic motivation is when a habit becomes part of your identity and you wear that identity every day. Another example that I give all the time: walking up escalators. Don't ever stand on an escalator. I do not get it. People on the tube who stand on escalators. Why would you want to spend longer in the London Underground, in that dark, miserable place, than you have to? Walk up the escalators. And it's not about burning calories. It's not about getting your knee up and all of that, you know, the scientific side of it. No, it's about an identity. It's about identifying yourself as someone who is going to walk up escalators every time you see them. The identity. The outcome, the what, I want to lose weight, so I'm going to walk up escalators, is not as powerful as I want to become someone who is always active and is always walking up escalators. That's an example I give, and one that every time I see an escalator, now I walk up it because I want to identify myself as a person who does that. It's one thing to say I am the type of person who wants to get fit. It's something very different to say I am the type of person who is fit. So just think about that next time you're standing on an escalator. Be the thing you want to be, because for the large majority of people, wanting it isn't enough. And I think about it like this: you're a magnet attracting to you that which you are thinking and feeling. I'm a big believer that if you are feeling fat and lazy, you cannot attract thin and active. If you are feeling poor and tired, you cannot attract prosperity and energy. Pay attention to what you're thinking at all times, because you are the creator of your experience. Your actions are literally just an extension of your thoughts. You are literally creating your experience always. And here's another example of what I mean with this. When you think a little thought of something you are wanting, that thought grows larger and larger and more powerful. You keep thinking about the Dairy Milk whole nut bar of chocolate, one of my favorites, in the cupboard in the kitchen. even though you're full and you've just had dinner. You just keep thinking about it. The larger that thought goes, the more power it draws to it. And now, the more certain you are to receive that experience of eating it, of eating this dairy milk chocolate bar, for example. And it sounds like a trivial example, but it's true. So next time, look into your own experience, particularly when you have negative thoughts and when negative thoughts arise. And you may see the correlation between what you were thinking and speaking and what you are receiving. Everything starts with that voice inside your head. It's like a second person and it never ever disappears. Even now, when you're listening to me talking, there'll be a voice inside your head that'll be saying things constantly. You need to try and take control of it as much as you can. Take control of your thoughts, because your thoughts dictate your actions, and you have to attract positive thoughts in order for positive actions to take place. Simple law of attraction. And I'm a huge advocate and believer in this because I've seen it firsthand and I've applied it to my own life and it's worked. To finish off this podcast, I want to talk about growth, in particular spiritual growth, because we're talking a lot about, you know, inside our minds and the voice inside our minds. But I want to talk about spiritual growth and how we achieve it. Now, that may sound wishy-washy to you, but just hear me out, because this analogy I'm about to give you, I think, will help massively. It's helped with a lot in my life. Now, I've been reading and listening to a fair amount of material about growth recently, how we grow as humans, not just mentally and physically, but also spiritually. And it's a lot of what I'm looking into to do with my life coaching and how to help people. Now, I've always been a very spiritual person. It's helped me deal with a lot in my life, particularly since losing my younger brother 2 years ago. It's given me an enormous amount of strength and comfort. I'm about to give you one of the best exercises for you to do that will hopefully massively help you change your perspective on quite a lot, actually, particularly how to grow as a person and how to overcome any fears you may have about, well, about anything, really. I listened to an audiobook called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. Singer talks a lot about how to transform your life through controlling your conscious mind and intensifying things around you that are a danger to you. Now, it's quite an intense read or listen, but it's incredible. And he talks about how you need to identify and remove any inner thorns. What he means is this. Imagine if you had a thorn in your arm touching a nerve, and anything that touched it caused pain inside of you. Even brushing against the thorn causes pain. You have two choices now. You either try to avoid everything in your life that touches that thorn. So for example, if you're walking through the woods, you're trying to avoid any branches that might sweep and touch it. If you're sleeping, you have to sleep on one side all the time, because if you roll over onto the other side, the thorn's going to prick you. All this kind of thing. Or you can do this amazing alternative, which is take the thorn out. By avoiding the thorn, you will be avoiding it your entire life. It will go on constantly causing you pain, which is what a lot of us do. We've got our thorns in and we don't want anybody to touch them. And if they touch them and irritate our thorn, we get upset, because you shouldn't touch our thorn. We train people not to touch our thorns and we build a life around not getting hurt. Very familiar if you're in an argument. Don't you go there with me. How many times have you said that? I've certainly said that. In other words, don't you touch my thorn, but you should instead face your thorns head on. The alternative is to understand you can remove that thorn inside of you, the same as you can remove it outside of you. If you remove it, you will never have to think about it again. And that is being free. That resembles spirituality. Now, you might be wondering, but how do you know what your thorn is? It's actually quite easy, really. Disturbance tells you. Just like pain happens when you get the thorn outside, disturbance happens inside. If something touches your thorn, an argument with your partner, someone disrespects you at work, you need to immediately decide what to do about it. To remove the thorn, to confront the feeling and ask yourself, do I like being disturbed? The answer, of course, is no. So you are way better off learning how to deal with the disturbance, and that is also how you remove the thorn. They are directly related. The fact that the situation outside stimulated this disturbance inside of you means that you've uncovered something inside, stored inside of you, that needs to come out. So don't walk through life holding on to these thorns, avoiding everything that might disturb them, and getting angry or upset when they are disturbed. Focus on trying to remove the thorn instead. It may seem harder at first, but once it's out, it's out, and you'll feel an overwhelming sense of freedom, and I think live a much more carefree life. I've been working on this for a while, ever since I found out about this analogy, and it's worked. I can also now identify with other people when I see their thorns have been disturbed and they're upset and they're angry, and it's not because someone has, you know, insulted them or done something that has objectively not been nice. It's just, it's literally because they've had their thorn disturbed, and all they need to do is remove that thorn to get over whatever it is that is happening in their life. I've let go of so many things, thorns, if you will, and it's enabled me to deal with a lot of different situations with a lot more ease, and also allow me to understand a lot more about myself and what disturbs me, and work on those things. And rather than blaming everything around me and the thing that might be disturbing me, looking inward and being like, no, this is disturbing me because this is a thorn and I'm trying to protect this thorn, and I've removed it, and then the same thing has happened to me again and it hasn't bothered me. And this is the process. Now, there may be a perspective on this that if you're always letting things go, you're a pushover and you need to have some kind of fight and grit in you and stand up for yourself. I'm absolutely not denying this, nor am I saying you should be a pushover. You shouldn't. It's very important to stand up for what is right, objectively right, by the way, not always what you believe is right, because objectively, sometimes that might be wrong, but certainly stand up and protect yourself. But by protect yourself, that doesn't mean shield the thorn from anything that comes near it or provokes it. And that's what a lot of people get wrong. Protecting yourself in this instance is being brutally honest with yourself and identifying that when you are being disturbed, in whatever way that may be, whatever capacity that is, can it be handled by removing the thorn? Are you able to look inward enough to see that actually, without the thorn in your arm, there will be no disturbance for you? Gosh, when you start doing this, life becomes a lot more peaceful. I can tell you that. And it's something that I'm still working on with a lot of things, because I discover new thorns along the way. But it really, really, really helps. We can look at this similarly to an instance where someone has been cheated on. The immediate consequence of this for the individual who has unfortunately been cheated on is that their walls come up around them to protect themselves instantly. Now, this instantly, the problem with it is that it can sometimes last a lifetime, as people walk around with these huge high walls up. They want to protect themselves and prevent being hurt again. It sounds like the correct thing to do, right? You get hurt, you get damaged, someone threatens you, someone takes away your trust, whatever it may be, and you put these walls up to protect yourself. Unfortunately, it's not at least in the long run. And it can actually be a really crippling antidote, as although you might feel protected now for the time being, what you're really doing is preventing any kind of negative emotions from leaving you too. Yes, you may think with walls up, people can't come in and disturb your peace, but it also means you can't see over the wall. You have no view of the outside, no opportunities to see and engage with, at least not properly engage with anyway. This means that as well as nothing be able to flow inside, nothing can flow outside. And that's a problem, because negative emotions you're holding on to for whatever reason that is, in this case, being cheated on, you know, self-doubt maybe, self-pity, insecurity, low self-esteem, they're unable to be released back into the world because of your walls up. A huge part of healing and growth and bouncing back from setbacks, heartbreak, failures, is to release the negative energy that comes with it all back into the world and focus on bringing back in the good energy you need again to heal. With these high walls up, none of this good energy is able to come in. So although you think you're protecting yourself from any future danger or risk, you're actually detrimentally ruining any chance of proper healing. Because not only is there no escape for the negativity consuming your entire being, but there is no entrance for anything bright and new. And yes, it's a big risk keeping your walls down. It takes an enormous amount of courage to do that. You're exposed to the outer world again, where yes, you might get hurt again, you might get betrayed, you might experience something as terrible as cheating again, but that's the risk you have to take. You have to take that risk. You can't go living your life scared of experiencing these things just because you want to stay protected, just because you want to protect that thorn. Don't spend your life living like that, because you will miss out on some of the greatest things this place we call Earth that we're living on has to offer. The risk is well worth the reward of that possibility of experiencing truly great things, love, connection, prosperity. The only thing you have to know is that opening allows energy in and closing blocks it out. You have to decide whether or not you want this energy. How high do you want to get? How much love do you want to feel? How much enthusiasm do you want to have for the things you do? If enjoying a full life means experiencing high energy, love, and enthusiasm all the time, then don't ever close. It doesn't take a day or a few days to remove any thorns or bring any walls down or to open up. As with anything, it's a work in progress, and it takes a lot of self-honesty and self-awareness. We will go through life taking out thorns, but also identifying new ones along the way. We will continuously move through life putting up walls, but hopefully taking them down again as soon as we realize they're actually preventing us from truly living how we want to and experiencing the amazing things that we can experience. But it's just that, realizing when we need to do these things. That is the first step, being mindful of it. The next step is acting. So here now, I'm presenting you with the idea to be mindful of the thorns, of the walls that you may have in your arm, that you may have on your body, that you may have in your life. Hopefully you can now go away and apply this to your own life, your own thorns, your own walls, and hopefully you can start taking them out and lowering them down to get a taste of the freedom it brings. Don't be scared to try and do it, because on the other side of that wall is a lot of good energy, a lot of amazing experiences. I'll leave you with this quote to end the podcast on. Don't let anything in life be important enough that you're willing to close your heart over it. Keep those hearts open, those walls down, and those thorns out. Thank you so much for listening. Wow, we covered a lot. So just to quickly round things up, what's been discussed in this episode, so you can take away. I spoke about the fact that what you repeat to yourself matters, and why squishing those ants, those automatic negative thoughts, is vital for your productivity and your well-being. Every single one of us has a hero. Remember that, and remind yourself of that daily. Surround yourself with people and the right environment to bring that hero out of you too. So important. When setting yourself out to achieve a goal, remember who you want to become is just as, if not more, important than what you want to achieve. Be the thing you want to be and attract exactly that by thinking in that way as much as you can. Your mind is a very, very powerful tool, so use it to its advantage. Removing those damn thorns. Set yourself free from any shackles that are holding you down. Lower those walls, and you'll find your experiences in life are that much more enjoyable. It's been my pleasure as always. I can't believe that this is the 10th episode. Absolutely mad. But your continued support honestly means the world to me. And thank you again for listening. As always, please give this a 5-star rating on the App Store. If you have just 30 seconds, it would also mean a hell of a lot to me. But in the meantime, look after yourself, and I will see you very, very soon. Goodbye.